Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guests to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Welcome back to Mission Accepted Podcast. Thank you so much for being here. You know, the one thing I love about you guys, not only are you the best podcast audience ever, and I get to say that, is that you're supportive, you send out the, you know, you send out the shows, you subscribe, you share it to your friends. Thank you. It's so exciting for us to watch all the international numbers come in and know that people are listening all around the world, of incredible people taking on the mission. I'm sure you're laughing with us. I'm sure you're learning with us. But you know what? You know what happens when you do that? You become incredible change agents. And so we have an expert today, right? We have an expert today, Kathy Hull from Catherine Hull Enterprises, and she is a change maker advocate. And we have brought her in as an expert, as a change maker advocate, and she loves supporting the whole idea around change agents. And she's going to speak to us today about the roles that she plays and how she's learned and what it is that she feels, because she's working with a whole lot of women right now, is why women make such incredible leaders. So Kathy, welcome to the stage of Mission Accepted, and please welcome yourself. I see that I think you're on mute a little bit there. There you go. Come on in and say hello to the audience and everyone who's listening, and please share this in leadership and making such good leaders.
Okay, thank you so much, Deb, and thank you everybody who's listening in right now and who has taken on this Mission Accepted project and is learning from it, as I am every day also. So I do appreciate the interest, and I'm happy to be here. It's really quite an honor for me. And today, we've done several other podcasts, so today we're following up with this podcast on what is a leader and why women make great ones. And my very first point that I always make is that all women have what it takes to be leaders. It's just by our nature, things, other things that we do, how we interact with family, volunteer activities, our workspace, everything we do. And so right now for leadership, the kind of the model, it's not the old grumpy manager anymore. It's more the servant leader is kind of what the model is today. And what they do is they prioritize the needs and the well-being of other people, the people that work for them, their team members. They emphasize the serving and the...
So Kathy's gone off a little bit there. I'm sure she's going to come back. And the one thing that she's been talking about is about servant leadership and how the market has changed. Oh, I loved how she talked about, you know, that there was, you know, grumpy managers to really becoming servant leaders. So Kathy, you just bleeped a little bit there, but I just continued on because that's what we do. that's what women leaders do, is we help each other. We were just defining and chatting a little bit more about servant leadership and, mm-hmm. and what it means. So please continue.
Okay. And sorry that it bleeped, but no. The kind of those traits that are usually thought of are empathy, strong communications, problem solving, innovation, collaboration, empowerment of others, and humility. And these things are what women tend to be and act like, because like I said, they have all these other roles that they have learned those traits from. And it's not the titles. To be a leader, it's not the titles you have. It's the skills that you have developed and honed, what you've acquired in life. And every single experience we have in life usually teaches us some skill or how to do something a little bit better. It's evolution. And basically my theory is if you don't evolve, you become extinct like the dinosaurs. But women are constantly having to adapt and evolve and figure things out, whether you're, you know, at work or with your kids, if you have children, you know, it's just a constant learning experience for women. And that, to me, is why they have what it takes.
That's why she was talking about how women make such great leaders, because they have all these skills that they've honed. Yeah. Awesome. We were just talking about how, elaborating a little bit on your concept, or on the fact that it's not, leadership isn't a title. It's really something that you've honed in terms of your skills, and how women, just by being women, have so many of those skills honed before they step into that role. So again, I'll pass it over to you, because I know that we've talked a few times, and listening to you come on into shows before, that sometimes women get nervous about leaders, at being a leader, and they don't even realize the skills they have. And I think that that is something that we have to recognize, is that we have an idea around a title. And where does that idea come from? Like, where did that, is it archaic? Is it an updated, you know, did you download the latest version of what your definition of a leader is? Or are you running off your iPhone 6? Do you know what I mean? Like, because leaders, like you said, are different. And women, I think as soon as you say leader, if they are not one already, and even for those that are, oh, they're a leader, they're like, ooh, they're a leader, that somehow they're ahead of them or above them, and how can we obtain it?
Right. So, no, that is exactly right. And it is, we tend to think, as you said, of leaders have this specific aura, and it's not, it's just somebody.
Well, she's going to be coming in and out today. So I think this is
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That they step up and think very strongly about something, and are willing to say, okay, I'll take this on because I really am passionate about it. And then finding other people with the similar passions to follow, because every leader needs followers. But we do tend to feel that, what they call the imposter syndrome sometimes, of, well, I'm not good enough, I don't know enough. But we're constantly learning. We are continuous learners. Women tend to be continuous learners, just because they have to survive in this world, or to really make their pathway in this world. So if there's a statistics, and I don't know the exact statistics, but they say if men know, you know, like 40 or 50% of a job, they'll apply for it. And women feel like they have to know 90% of a job, because of the way we feel. We're just the lack of acknowledging our skills. Mm. And but we don't have to, because we constantly learn. The other thing that I think, just to give you kind of a perspective from the corporate world, is many, many corporations are now moving towards skill-based hiring. Based hiring. Because they are learning, and they realize that it's the...
Okay, we're having a little bit of tech today, and I think what Kathy's talking about. Okay, so we cut out a little bit there, but I just want to kind of go back a little bit. You were saying that that's okay. We go with it. This is how it is. So you were talking a little bit about how skill-based hiring, you know, that companies and corporations are going to skill-based, and they're taking a look at the person, at what they can bring to the table, versus maybe their years of experience already as a leader or already as this, but they're looking for the skills that they know they need in that position. And do you possess those skills, and have you already honed them? And then they can put them together. And of course, like you said, put you in a position where you're actually engaging with people that are on the same gauge as you. So I'll let you finish that off, but we were just in a little bit of that conversation.
Okay. Yes, because they're finding that just education isn't what really makes a great employee, leader, or any of those things. And so what they are realizing is that your experiences, because women do, to some extent, have some challenges that men don't have often. For example, the mommy penalty. in a lot of companies, if you're a mommy or becoming a mommy, they kind of go, oh, you know, I don't know. Can she really, you know, give the time and energy she needs to? Is right. That?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
And what they're finding is those basic skills of time management, adaptability, those are things that are so important on a job. And statistically, they've done studies that show that in many positions, especially in leadership, men tend to take more time off than women mothers, because they feel, you know, mothers feel so the pressure to show up and speak up and work. So, you know, it's shifting. The world is shifting. But we're not just talking about the workplace. I also want to talk about just in your everyday life. If you, you know, if you have kids in school and you're, you know, you're part of the parents association, you know, and you feel strongly about something, then oftentimes women will step up. The woman who started an organization to try and limit our gun use for automatic weapons because of school shootings was just a mom. Yes, she had some experience in the workplace, but she was just a mom who was, it was after Sandy Hook, she was so appalled at what was going on that she started an organization that became a nationwide organization that's very powerful now in this movement to ban.
Absolutely. I think what Kathy is showing us by example and story is that very much true what she said is that if you, like, the calling inside can override what we think in terms of what is expected of a leader. And so that prime example there, where now there's this incredible organization by a woman who was frustrated or upset about something. And she obviously automatically put herself into a role of leader, probably not even knowing it, thinking like, there's got to be people that think like me. There's got to be people that are upset like me. There's got to be, you know, and we've seen that over and over and over and over again. And I wouldn't think someone's like, hey, I need to be a leader and I need to get people to follow me. It's almost collaborative. It's like, you know, she took the lead, obviously. She became the first person and then continued to choose that role. But I think that's exactly a prime example of what it is that you're saying. Kathy, I know that you work with women that come to you for leadership support. What's some of the things that they come to you? Is it that they want to become a leader? They're looking to become a leader in their field. They don't feel like they're good enough. Or is there some leadership challenges? They're like, okay, now I'm a leader. Maybe I wanted to be, maybe I didn't. And it's navigational.
Yes. I think they come for obviously all different reasons, but sometimes it's just the
Right. So we're being.
I can help them.
Yeah.
So I can help them, you know, just by showing examples of other women or just what's going on in the world. Or, you know, I work with a lot of women internationally that just make, you know, small incremental changes. Like one woman in Africa just was trying to get her community to cut down the tall grass on the way to the bus where what many women walked to the bus because they were being pulled into the tall grass and assaulted. So it was just her making the effort to go to the community leaders and get them to understand that women were not going to go to work. They're not going to go to the bus because they were afraid of being assaulted. And they finally cut down the grass. But that brings up another point, as sometimes I also have to help them, or I really want to share how to message, how to really communicate more effectively, that it's important to understand the other point of view so that you can structure your message so that it's a win-win, so that you're not just advocating for what you believe in, but you can show how it will affect what their outcome or goal is.
No, that's really important. I think that's a pinnacle piece to it, right?
Who do you talk to?
Yeah. So Kathy, you kind of bleeped out a little bit there. And I think that when you were talking about how having that messaging, because it's more powerful, I think whether you're talking about showing statistics or what's needed or why that movement inspired that person and taking that information, like you said, in your messaging, because it gives it a broader scope, right? It's not like it didn't just happen to me. It's happening to all of us. It's a community issue. It's a world issue. It's a this state issue, this country issue, not just my issue. So you bleeped out just a little bit there, but I just thought I was topping up on that. And what are some of the things that help make it when they're communicating? Is it finding statistics? Is it getting alliances? Like what is it?
It's a combination of several things. One is stories. It has been shown time and time again that stories are way more powerful than statistics. Now, it helps if you have a little bit of information that can back up those stories so that they don't just think, oh, it's just her telling her story, that it actually is more universal story than just your own story. But that is a very strong motivator. And so sometimes I just have to help women define their story. You know, kind of, you don't want to do a 30-second elevator speech, but you want to be able to tell it concisely.
I would imagine telling, you know, when coaching, you're telling the story precisely, but with impact, you know, keeping to the facts, keeping things rolling, keeping people engaged in what's happening, seeing a progression of maybe what the problem is and then what the call for help is and what that solution can bring about. And so that people can hear a story that may not be theirs, but have relatability.
Correct. And the other thing that you also mentioned is the alliances. It's creating, women tend to be very good at creating a community and finding others and getting people involved and relating to the other women that might be having similar problems, or if they're having a problem working in tangent with each other and not just say, oh, well, your problem's not as important as my problem. We're all, you know, in this together. And they're very good about creating those communities so that sometimes, you know, some of the women I've worked with, they start in one area and other women come in and want to join, but then they realize there's another perspective to that same issue, and they expand, kind of like the woman who did the gun violence. And so, you know, we're open to that. We don't have usually such tunnel vision.
Right. Working together, creating alliances, women with the same vision, wanting the same result, and being able to work alongside each other like that.
Mm-hmm. And that's very, very important. That's a very important skill that women have. Once again, it gets back to just recognizing that these are very important skills. They're important traits, whatever you want to call them, that we have that traditionally in the past haven't been given a lot of weight. But now the world is, especially the corporate world and the larger world around us, is realizing that these things are so important to being effective and being a leader.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, one of the things that I want to say that, you know, watching this happen, observe this happen, being on both sides of that, you know, putting leaders on a pedestal, I mean, I loved how you said that men only feel the need to have 40 to 50% of the skills to apply for a leadership job, and women think they have to have 90% or all of it or lots of that on your resume already, that there's a whole, I mean, I relate to everything that you've said. And also being in that collaborative state, like, you know, sharing that pie, sharing those responsibilities. What is it like as a leader? What's your role as a leader? And just the progression of leadership, right? Just the progression of leadership, studying leadership, watching leadership, hanging out with women like you. I could definitely see how, well, I've seen it and experienced it, how it can be really intimidating. Yet, once you're in there, once you're having that leadership experience, once you're having that collaborative experience, just how comfortable it feels and how it feels just so normal to be able to be collaborating on something that everybody is dedicated about and everybody's excited about. So I think leadership can take on a whole different role. And I think a lot of times women are used to being a leader in their community, and maybe they don't take to, how can I say it? They don't give themselves enough credit for things that they've done in the community that maybe weren't paid, like even in our families, right? So Kathy, as you can see, if you're watching, we're obviously having some tech issues, but I'm going to continue on for her because I know this woman, I know she's amazing, and I'm sure she's going to come back. And just talking about how we don't really take into consideration all the skills that we have because of maybe some of the things that we've done that are unpaid that make some of the most brilliant leaders today. And Kathy sharing that story exactly of just getting the community to cut the grass and allowing that mission and that vision to have such an incredible result. And I'm sure that woman would not have woken up, you know, and said, hey, this is something I'm going to do after I take a leadership course. Do you know what I mean? She just took lead. So we've been chatting about how, Kathy, how women sometimes don't give themselves the credit that they've probably been in leadership roles. And maybe some of it hasn't been paid. And maybe that's why we don't give it some of the credentials that we give others, is because we've done this work and it's not been paid. It's been volunteer or collaborative or what have you. Helping other people do this or do that or organize or orchestrate in our families and communities. And so I think it's good to recognize paid or unpaid doesn't make you a leader or a better leader. It just doesn't, right?
Yeah. Yes. And quite honestly, there are so many opportunities. I was between jobs quite a while ago, but I was between jobs. And so I thought to myself, well, you know, there's some certain things I don't do as well as I probably could. And one of them was a bit of communications. I was kind of one of those that, well, I'll just do it. You know, I don't need to bring others along. I'll just do it. It's faster. It's easier. I don't have to, you know, talk to people. And so what I did is I actually took on a volunteer job that forced me to use those and learn those communication skills, because I was in between jobs and I wasn't just going to sit at home. And, you know, I was still a mommy and stuff, but I also felt that need personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So she had a calling to
a skill.
Yep. Absolutely.
I learned that skill through my volunteerism. And then I was able to apply it to so many things afterwards. So like you said, it's not whether you're paid or unpaid. A lot of the skills we sometimes learn come from experiences where we're not necessarily paid. Because sometimes in a paid position, you have limitations. Mm-hmm. And you go out on your own and just say, oh, I want to learn about something, and you do it, there aren't those limitations. It's not somebody telling you, well, that's not really in your job description. You really shouldn't be doing that. Mm-hmm. You know? So that freedom. And quite honestly, being a volunteer and being a leader in a volunteer organization is super valuable, not just for you, for your personal identity or your personal growth, but also for the community you are choosing to serve. So not all of us want to work full time and be in paid positions, you know, where we have that pressure. So you can be a volunteer and you can be a leader in a volunteer organization. And you can learn with other, and especially I have learned so much from other women. I've learned from men too, but it's not always the lessons that I thought were as important to me, because it was kind of, I worked in politics and that was a very testosterone-laced, you know, environment. But I also, in that environment.
So Kathy's talking about, you know, different. Yeah. Just gapped a little bit there, but you were talking about being in the different environment that was more masculine.
Yes. And so I found some women in that same environment that were better. They were leaders in what they were doing. And they, you know, I learned from them. They could coach me. They could show me, you know, different ways of presenting myself. I mean, talking about the communication things, I was told that I could be scary because of the way I come into a room and I just say what I'm going to say, and, you know, and usually have something to back it up. And I had to learn to, you know, how do you communicate more effectively? How do you take, like I was talking about earlier, how do you take into their perspective to figure out your message? So it's just not you, you know, confronting them or saying, no, you're wrong. You know, you can't do it that way. Mm-hmm. So it's finding other women oftentimes that are just a little bit more experienced than you are, a little bit more seasoned. And usually women want to help women. It used to be, especially in the corporate world, very dog eat dog with women because they saw it as a pie. And if they only had this much of the pie and that was all that was going to women, then they had to stay in that.
Right. So she's talking about really that how, yeah, it's gone from a competitive, I call it the pantsuit era, you know, mm-hmm. the pantsuit era where we got to wear the pantsuit and there was only a small piece of that pie. And then even in that environment, seeing that whole masculine structure where honestly they could have it out with each other and they could go have a beer, you know, because they just knew that's what it was and they didn't take it personally. And I think that has been a very big learning curve about taking things personally, being emotional, containment, and all those parts of communication. But I call it the pantsuit era. And I think we've very much moved out of that, really living in a world of collaboration.
Yes, thank goodness. Because I did work partly in the pantsuit era and it could be very, very vicious. And, you know, I always kind of thought, well, where's our, you know, sisterhood? And back then it was sometimes hard to find, but I think we were also understanding that sharing with each other, being authentic, and sometimes being a bit emotional and showing that vulnerability. Brené Brown does such a wonderful job talking about vulnerability and knowing when it's okay and when you have to kind of rein it in a little bit. But it makes you human. And now humanness and humanity is a lot more valued.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is respected, appreciated, and at the very least acknowledged. Not maybe in every scenario at all times, and for what that be, you know, but I think that there is there's just more generosity around humanness in and out of corporate structure.
Yeah.
So absolutely. Well, I think we've covered a lot of things today, Kathy, and I think that it's probably time to give people, because we could talk for a long time, give people how to reach you. I know that we're going to have it in the show notes. And, you know, you work with leaders at all levels, women wanting to be leaders, women's in leadership situations that are having some challenges, right? I mean, because challenges can happen, personal growth can happen, business growth can happen. Is there anything that you want to say before we wrap up today's incredible show?
I just want to encourage every woman to know that they, and really support them in their knowing that they have what it takes. They have what it takes to lead if that's what they choose to do. If they want to be a good follower and just a good support system, that is also crucial. So trust in yourself. You have it.
All right. You heard it here. Trust in yourself. And Kathy, before we pop away, I'm going to ask you, we believe in music over here at Mission Accepted, and we believe in good vibes. And so what's the music that you're listening to these days? Oh, there's some songs that are sang in silence.
My internet. I just got home late last night, so I don't know what's going on with my internet.
No worries. What is one of your favorite songs right now? Oh, and off she goes again. So look, we will thank you, Kathy, for coming on to the show. Thank you, listeners, and thank you, viewers. And I'll tell you, Kathy is a big part of our 262 project. You're going to see her in the book. You're going to be seeing her on stage. She's done an incredible three-part mini series here for you around leadership, what that means, all the details of it. Really, honestly, watch the show from one show to the other. You're going to see a really beautiful theme. You're going to learn a lot. not only about the different approaches, about some incredible stories. The story that Kathy shared about one woman, I have never forgotten, and she knows because I've chatted about it and I love it. And I just love the power of movement. And I think that we can take off any ideas that we have about leadership in relationship to that. It's unattainable. So Kathy, thank you so much for coming and sharing this whole series with us as an expert of being a change maker advocate. It's really important. And I know that you know both sides of it. You know corporate, you know running a family, you know entrepreneurial. And I think it's just been just a beautiful experience having you come on. And we hope that you decide to do this again with us. So again, you have her information. You can reach out to her, share with her. Please share this information. It's super important. And you, our Mission Accepted podcast listeners, thank you so much for hanging us in here with us today with a little bit of tweak here and there. But Kathy, do you want to just say a final statement before we close up?
Yes, I just want to thank everybody who is listening and continues to listen. And I want to also show great appreciation and gratitude for all women who do stand up and speak out.
All right. With that being said, be well, stay groovy. We'll see you again next week. Bye for now.